B-Pod Studios.
It was reported. Put a little catch outside today.
It was already out there. That was right there. That was right there.
He saw I was in town for this basketball game. He's like, yo, Gronk, man. Yo, Gronk, come throw with me in the morning. So I was like, no problem. I'll give me a warm to this basketball game tonight. So now I'm here tonight. I'm all juiced up, all warmed up from that.
I love the super jazzy music behind Rob Gronkowski. Dude was in a good mood at that basketball game he was playing, the charity basketball game on Monday night for Monster Energy. And that was just one day after the pictures came out of him throwing with Tom Brady. So Rob Gronkowski last night was on the red carpet over at the ESPYs. Now, this is something that for a while, and I know that this is going to happen until it does or does not happen at the end of the season, probably all throughout December or all the way till December. This is a discussion we're going to be having. But I mean, anytime that there's any kind of evidence, it's worth looking at and trying to figure out, you know, one way or the other. When I interviewed Rob Gronkowski a couple of weeks ago and I asked him about what his future plans were now that he was retired, you know, what about movies and things like that? And he was fairly evasive and uncommittal or noncommittal rather to any kind of upcoming projects. It hit me as odd, as if he was keeping his slate clean for possibly coming back. That was my opinion of the interview. Fred disagreed. I completely understand why Fred would think that way. That was just a vibe that I got when I was talking to him. But then there was the Rich Eisen interview he did about a week ago, where when he was asked, hey, if Tom Brady calls you and says, hey, will you please come back? You know, Gronk started laughing. He goes, you know, call me in December. And, you know, once again, something jokey. You can put stock in that if you want to. I didn't really even put that much stock into it because to me, it's just kind of Gronk being silly Gronk. But if you did, I can understand one way or the other. But then there was him throwing with Tom Brady. And I think that is obviously something legitimate because the two of them find themselves in Los Angeles throwing together over at UCLA. And it's kind of they call it a private one, but I guess anytime you do something at a big college like that, like on their field, it's not going to remain private. So they ended up getting out of there. I thought that was the first time there was at least a little bit of fire to the smoke that maybe he's coming back. But then there was last night. And last night I found to be the most interesting of all the things in the Rob Gronkowski saga. And that was a moment on the red carpet where somebody filmed with their cell phone an off-air conversation. Now, this, as I said, was not in front of ESPN cameras. This was two guys. You know how it is on a red carpet. When people are waiting to speak, a lot of people who know each other, you'll see them in the background. You'll see them kind of talking to each other and palling around.
By the way, if you're an athlete, this is the worst. This is the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
There's no conversation that's safe anywhere, no. Microphone or no microphone. Think about that. If you're Rob Gronkowski and what you're about to play is actually true, I mean, you can't go anywhere or say anything in front of anybody.
So this was, once again, away from the cameras, away from the microphones, and this was from a cell phone video that someone was filming, and it's Drew Brees talking to Rob Gronkowski. And at the very beginning, after the laugh, listen fairly closely, and then just take a listen to what Rob Gronkowski says here.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yes, I don't know where it is.
We have to go inside. Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay. He absolutely said, yeah, I'm coming back. So he goes, yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. And he starts laughing.
Play it again because it's tough to pick up the first
time. It's within the first, like wait about 3 seconds.
Right before the laugh. Right before the laugh.
Right after the laugh. He goes, yeah, I'm coming back.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yes.
Or between the laughs, rather.
Yes.
Yeah, he 100% says, yeah, I'm coming back. To Drew Brees. And it sounds like the conversation is, you know, that's what I'm hoping for. Who knows how it began? That would be great if someone had a first part of the video maybe saying, you know, are you thinking about, you know, sitting out training camp in the first couple of months and then being back in time for the playoffs?
Or maybe I'm coming back to L.A. later in the month.
Yeah, I'm coming back. Maybe that's the...
I choose to believe it's career-oriented, and I was right all along. He's coming back over Thanksgiving.
Why would he ask, are you coming back to Los Angeles?
This is I don't know. Maybe Brees is having on vacation there before training camp. I have no idea.
Jonathan.
He's asking Gronk out to dinner. I have no clue.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yes, I don't know where it is.
We have to go.
Yeah. He 100% said, yeah.
Coming back to Hollywood to film a movie. I have no idea.
And I've heard this, too. This is another thing, too. And I tweeted out that clip. And somebody says, anyone who thinks Gronk is coming back should take one look at him. I know there's no way he could play at that weight. He must be down 40 to 50 pounds. By the way, he's not. He's at 250, and I think 270 was his playing weight. That's 20 pounds. And from the people we've talked to, and I'd love to speak to Ted Johnson because, I mean, he would know of anybody. But from the muscle heads that we've talked to, apparently 20 pounds is not tough to gain back if you had like 2 months of time. So right now is not a time where he'd be if he's indeed going to come back the beginning of December. And I think that is the cutoff date, right? It's like the first week of December. There's some arbitrary date where after that you are not allowed to rejoin a team if you're retired. I forget what the stipulation is, but I know that he can't come back any later than I think it's the first week of December. So if that's the case, wouldn't you kind of start training mid-September?
Yeah, you would.
That would be the time you start ramping up things?
Yep.
And from everyone I've spoken to, it doesn't take that long.
Give yourself
to get
2 months.
That muscle back. Right.
Give yourself 2 months. You want to gain the muscle back because you're going to take an enormous amount of contact once you're back out on the field.
Especially when you have the type of people around you that Rob Gronkowski does. Not just his meathead brothers who are probably throwing like weights on the, you know, on the rack and, you know, and insulting him and punching him in the face. But you have guys, the best nutritionalists, the best people in the industry who want to get him back. And you know what? If this was his plan the entire time, I guarantee you this is something that has been planned out by experts for a long, long time. How do we get you prepared and in football shape for December 1st to get you back on this roster? And if there's anyone who's ever done that before and gained that much weight, I mean, once again, by looking at me, you can obviously tell that I'm not a muscle head. It doesn't take anyone who's a scientist to figure that out. But if anyone has ever done that before, the people I've spoken with say that it is not that hard. 617-779-0985. And by the way, that picture's a bad angle because on the ESPYs last night, he still looked really big. He didn't look like that photo that's been going around. And when I saw him a couple weeks earlier, he wasn't noticeably smaller. He might have slimmed down a little bit, as he said, but I mean, that's 20 pounds. It's not like this guy's saying 50 to 60 pounds. All right. This is Rob Gronkowski last night being asked about what he's up to.
You're a big scooter guy, though.
I am. I love the rental scooters. You just hop on them. You get around the city. It's easy. You know, if people recognize you, you just zoom away and they can't keep up with you.
All right. So now we know what you've been doing in retirement, scooting. But what else? Tell us what's been going on for you as you've been retired.
Yeah, you know, just relaxing. I mean, just played good 15 years straight of football every single year. So just been relaxing, you know, staying active still. I love playing other sports. I actually love playing outdoor sports during the summer, like, you know, pig, horse, and basketball. Pool basketball, my favorite. But my favorite game out there is cornhole. I love cornhole. And when you sink four shots in a row, one, two, three, four against your opponent, that's a great feeling.
There is a professional cornhole league if you'd like to go into that. Yes. You interested in that?
I've actually heard about it. I've been recommended from many people to look into it, but I don't know. I don't feel like my cornhole game is that good. I feel like every single shot those pros put it in, but maybe one day. But as of right now, I just love to show up at houses, love to show up at summer parties in the backyard and just play some cornhole.
Our producer Tracy said she texted Ted Johnson. She goes, "You didn't answer. Probably at the gym," which would be pretty much. Doesn't he go twice a day? He does 2 days at the gym, right?
I thought it was one longer session.
See, I thought Teddy J was a two-a-time guy. I thought he was like early in the morning, one of those early riser guys. And then he's got to get that crunch in like before dinner.
He is enormous. Honest to God.
I think he's a two-a-dayer.
Okay.
I know a friend of mine who works out at the downtown, like what I think it's the Planet Fitness. And he said that when he goes in there, there's constantly police going in because they're taking out people who are sleeping in the bathrooms because it's cheaper to just get a membership to go there, and they'll go in and they'll just sleep in the bathrooms, and like constantly people have to get taken out. Maybe it's just Ted Johnson just not leaving because he doesn't want to ever have to go home between his workouts.
I like Gronk. You know, what sports? Oh, I like the outdoor sports. Okay. He could have said hunting. He could have said a bunch of stuff. Nope. Pig, horse, pool, basketball. He's nine. He's 9 years old.
Yeah, cornhole's legit.
And cornhole.
Wrong with that.
Matt Light. Remember, we have Matt Light on. He's like the big sponsor of the big cornhole tournament inside the bubble there behind Gillette Stadium.
All right, we will get to some more stuff that happened in the ESPYs last night right after this.
parents, no rules, no shirts, and best of all,
is Kutcher and Rich.
I read you loud and clear.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Five Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. Johnny Wall, get one more week till I might be in the presence of DJ Pauly Del Vecchio over in Las Vegas.
Talk to me about this. Now, we had a long conversation about this and whether or not you were actually going to the club, and you were resistant to this idea. Fred was like, "You're out of your mind. You know, he's there. Just go hang out, get an opportunity." But you were saying, "Well, you know, I'm a little." A little old for glow stick.
I never said that. I love that stuff.
It wasn't that. It was the long ass line you'd have to stand on, and I could be doing other things, and I have to pay $50 to get in.
No. It's more than $50.
All right, whatever the case may be, I have to pay a lot of money to get in, where I could be losing that money somewhere else.
Yeah.
I mean, so what has changed your mind?
I would like to go. Like, I would like to see him, but there's a couple of problems. One, I'm going. So Thursday night, I'm leaving a week from tonight. To go to Las Vegas.
For how long?
Just for a weekend. It's like Thursday till Sunday.
By the way, for those people who have never been to Vegas, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Two, three nights, and then it's time to get out.
And get the hell out of town.
Yep.
Because
after 48 hours, you begin to look for the road back to the airport.
You see the steerage. Yes. Yeah, you start to just see the grime, and you realize that you've got your ass kicked. And if you did it right, you're probably
tired.
You're chewed up and spit out.
You're blown away. Yep.
Right. So Pauly D is going to be playing at this place called Dre's. It's like a giant pool, and they have like a really nice, it used to be a cruddy casino called the Barbary Coast, which I think was right next to O'Shea's, which would just hire a little person to dress as a leprechaun.
O'Shea's.
It was horribly degrading, and they would just put him out there, and he'd like, "Oh, the luck of the Irish." And I'm like, "This dude, come on, can't you find anything else?" I felt bad for the guy. And so now it's this place called Dre's, the Cromwell, but on top is this nightclub called Dre's. And it's like a pool party that they have at night. It's called like swim night or something.
All right.
But he's doing the ones and twos or whatever they like to call it. Pauly D likes to call it. And it's one of these nightclubs where, you know, you could buy a regular ticket to get in. But in Las Vegas, it's one of those things where a $50 ticket to get in just means that there is a long ass line that you have to wait in. That takes upwards of 2 hours to get in because it's the guy with the clipboard who stands there
that.
And judges you.
Never.
Of course you wouldn't, because you're not an idiot.
I never do that.
Makes it even worse is that if it's a group of guys, which it is, it's me and a bunch of my friends from high school. If it's a group of guys, like, you're last on the list to get in. They want to stock that place with women. So, as a matter of fact, they say that if you're a guy and you want to get in one of these clubs, it's best to find a group of girls to go in, because then at least it's balanced and you have a better chance. But I hate that crap. I hate standing around being judged. Having to wait 2 hours. You want to waste 2 hours of my time on one of the three nights that you're going to have in Las Vegas?
Not a chance.
No, not a chance. So the only way to get in to see DJ Pauly D and to get right in where you're not wasting any time is you have to get a table. You got to get that table service thing. And the way that works is they say, "Hey, for $1,000, we'll get you and seven of your friends in. And we'll give you $1,000 worth of alcohol." Now you're like, "Whoa, what a party." No, $1,000 worth of alcohol means you're going to get a $750 bottle of like grandma's tongue liquor. And for like $900, you're going to get like a bottle of Sky vodka. And they bring you like a couple cans of Red Bull that they have somebody mix for you. I mean, it's a complete ripoff. But what you're essentially doing is paying to not have to wait in that line and paying for a place to sit down. That's the way the bottle service thing works. So I would have to like convince my friends that it's worth like $200 a person to go see Pauly D, which they could probably give a rat's ass about, instead of going and gambling or doing the 8 million other things that you can do in Las Vegas.
Okay, so this whole the way you started this conversation is kind of an elaborate, you know, thing where you say, I might go see Pauly D. You have no intention of going to go see Pauly D.
No, I want to see Pauly D.
No, but you're not going.
That's not true.
Well, what was the whole... You just made this whole thing about...
Because I'm trying to work my angle to get us in and not have to spend $1,000.
How do you plan on doing that?
I've already sent emails.
I don't think there's a $50 sandwich that's going to do it this time.
No, I've made one phone call and I've sent two emails.
To where?
On the official Beasley account. As a representative
you're
of the
be
media.
A media member?
Bet your ass I am. If you save me $1,000, I'm a media member.
I don't see. You, really? Yeah, what are the odds that this works?
There's no responsibility that I have to do anything on their end. Just say, I'm a guy.
What are the odds that this works?
Like 2%.
But I'm just thinking that I'm sure they get a lot of requests like this.
But then again, I've gotten into a lot of weird stuff before.
That's true.
And I've planted the seeds. It doesn't mean I'm getting in, it just means that. At least I'm trying.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Because if I get there and it's just me and my dumb friends, and it's like, hey, we're going to spend $1,000 to go see Pauly D, they're going to go, you're an idiot. No. But if I say, hey, we got in and we have a table. And
you got to spend $1,000 on liquor.
Right. I mean, and then I might be like, okay. See, to me, it would be worth spending like $200 to get like all of my friends in. Then I'll say, all right, and I'll buy all you guys drinks like the first couple of rounds. And we'll see Pauly D for a couple minutes and we'll laugh, we'll get drunk, and we'll go down the street and be stupid. Now, that I could do.
Okay.
And that's what I'm trying to work my angles, because there's no way in hell they're going to want to do that. And remember, this is that group of guys that I told you for years wanted to split a room four ways that was $39 at Bally's. Like, that's the kind of guys. Now, they've got a little more. Now they only want to do like two per room. You know,
if you said no.
With an $89 room. Even back in the day.
Where's the
like,
hotel
nope.
room of, where's the hotel of choice this
we're
time?
Not, oh, we're not staying at the Bally's this time. And you know what? And the whole reason we were going in the first place is because there was a concert we were going to see that ended up getting canceled.
You're not going to one of them bigger hotels like the Luxor or MGM or.
Did you go up in the Luxor with like a Luxor?
That was the first thing that came into my mind.
The Luxor Dirty Sore?
I've never been there. No, I don't know.
Yeah, you don't want to gamble.
The three times I've been there, I've always stayed at the MGM.
Chris Angel performs there. That should tell you everything.
That's fair. I'm not a Vegas pro like you. What can I tell you?
I mean, Hardy's the true pro. Although I've been there, I think probably 30 times.
Oh,
our show used to broadcast there, which was awesome. All we would take trips
after your Craddock days. How many times have you been there
since Craddock?
Yes,
maybe 10.
Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, I go like I try to go. I used to go once a year at least. And I still love it. And a lot of people, like, you know, they end up getting sick of it. They don't like the nightclubs. They don't love all that stuff. I love it. I could sit and gamble all night. I could sit and gamble and drink all night. And then I you know, most of the people on the show, unfortunately, know that I have a weird fascination with clubs that have the fist pumping music and the blinky drinks. I kind of enjoy that stuff. And I'm not going to lie. At that point, if I spent every single night in front of like Tiesto or Diplo or any of those guys, I'd be perfectly fine with it. I look like a total nerd while I'm there, but I don't care.
In Reykjavik, for example.
Well, Reykjavik was awesome because what they would do is they would take these restaurants that were like a, it would be like a tasty burger during the day, and at night they would clear out all the tables and it would be the hottest nightclub in town.
All right, but to recap, you want to go see Pauly D. You have tried a backdoor end around to try and see Pauly D.
Yes.
But if you have to spend $50 and wait in a 2-hour line, or
I'm not
pay $1,000 to get bottle service that isn't worth it.
No, nope.
You're not doing it.
I'm not doing it. Okay. I'm not doing it. I'll pay like $200 if I can get me and all my friends in. Like, I'll do something like that.
Okay.
And to me, that would be worth it, because then my friends are like, because I don't blame them if they're like, why the hell do we want to see DJ Pauly D?
There's not a chance in hell I would do either of those two things.
None of them are.
I guess I'm out of the demographic. I'm not interested.
Well, I mean, they've got that, you know, the Dungeons and Dragons convention down the street where they do it for cash.
I would rather go watch the World Series of Poker at Binion's than do that.
Again, you would watch people play poker?
Over going to see Pauly D, yes.
You're insane.
There's not a chance I would do
Admit
that.
It, Pauly D would be fun. Like, that would be a fun night out.
Fun night. I'd last in not even an hour.
You would sit there and watch people play poker?
Punch
me in the face. In Vegas? You waste your time in Vegas?
No. Well, I'm trying to make a point here. I would last less than an hour in that club. I know you like the glow stick thing. I'm good for an hour, maybe two in a situation like that.
I kind of want to see Glow Stick Wallach. Promise me next time we go out, you'll go with us.
What? To where?
I don't know.
Where do you go? You don't do that stuff here.
Oh, yeah.
What? Yeah. Okay, when? When was the last time you were at a club like that?
Gotta count it to grand. Okay. I know when Cash is playing.
Okay, Mr. Cool Guy. All right.
Dude, I'm not cool. I'm not cool at all.
Neither am I. I think that's one thing we can agree on.
But I'm not going to sit here and deny and lie that I don't love those type of clubs.
That's fine.
I love those places. I can't go all the time because they're expensive.
When I'm not spending $100 to get in and then another $300 worth of liquor to stay for an hour.
See, to me, if I was to go to a club and it meant I was paying like $200 to $250 and the whole night I got to stay there and it was, and I could get drunk. And I could be there with my friends and or even my wife, whatever, and just all night do the fist pumping and keep on drinking. And that, see, that to me
I'd
is
have
a
to
great
have,
night.
I'd have to have a squadron of guys with me to do it. Okay. I couldn't go like with just one
that
person.
That to me is fun as hell. And I bet I'm not the only one who thinks that. Who else in this room, in the other rooms, would think that that's actually a fun night out? Anybody? Yeah, everyone's not nodding
right.
their heads.
All right.
See, that's actually, it's fun because it is stupid. It's dumb. But you know what? It's you're going out. You're drinking with your friends. You got a place to sit. It's stupid, and everyone around you is dumb.
Well,
I love
you would
it.
Just all right. So under that in that situation, if I had like 8 or 9 guys with me, I'd do it. And I'd probably last a lot longer. Put it that way. But you're talking about going with 1 or 2 people. I can't do that.
I would prefer not to. I'd prefer with a big group.
That's okay. It's way more. I wasn't aware that the big group thing was on the table there. That's fine.
I just imagine you and your friends. You got to go with us, dude.
Okay.
Then I won't be the nerdiest person there. Which finally.
That's the one.
There's like an alarm that goes off when I show up.
That's the one thing. No matter where I go, I'm number one. Yeah. Unless Dan Roach is here, I'm always number one.
I would take Dan Roach. Okay, let's go to line one. Vic, what's up, man? You're on Touch and Rich.
Hey, what's going on, Rich? I'm hearing you, and I'm like, this guy does Tiesto. He does gambling. I'm 33 with a kid. If you want someone to go with, I'm with you, bro.
So you think I do crystal by listening to what I said? I mean, I'm not as cool as the kids.
I like that assumption.
All right, let's go to line two. Dan, what's up, man?
Yo, Rich, I've seen Paulie D in the Bahamas, okay? He was terrible.
Oh, that wasn't Pauly D. There's no way that was Pauly D.
Dude, we were down in the Bahamas. My wife's company got us the VIP, you know, bottle service, you know, table, everything you were saying before. The DJ before him was so much better. Pauly D comes out here. There's no cohesion. He's just dropping from one song to the next. He's not mixing anything. And then he'll just throw a random, yeah, buddy. And everyone will go wild. And it'll go back to
yeah, that's great. That's great because it's not even his music. At least like when you go see.
Oh,
like,
oh, no, it's not. Yeah, like, it's
like,
terrible.
You know, you see like Paul Van Dyke or any of these other guys or Skrillex or, you know, it's their songs. And so at least, and even though they're just pressing play most of the time, like at least like, okay, well, I appreciate what you do. Thank you, Dead Mouse. This is a good song. And you're the one who created it. You can, Paulie D's just playing like other people's songs who are playing down the street at better clubs. But that's what's so great about it. I mean, and also the people that would go to see Pauly D would be as cool as I am. Let's go to line three. Orlando, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, brother? But the question that I have you ever done any pub crawls when you've gone to Vegas? Because that also gets you into those exclusive clubs. And a DJ to go see out in Vegas is definitely Steve Aoki.
Oh, yeah. Well,
check that man out.
Steve Aoki is, I think, at Hakkasan that
even
weekend.
I've heard of that guy.
Him and Little John have like a deal there, and Calvin Harris is over at the Caesar. I mean, it's like every big DJ, they're playing every weekend you go, and they play 2 shows a day. Like Zed, you know that guy Zed? He's got a million hits.
Yep.
He's playing, I think on the Saturday I'm there, at the pool at the MGM, and later on that night, he's playing at Hakkasan, like the nightclub inside of the MGM. Yep. These guys make a zillion dollars because of idiots like me.
And if you do the pub crawls, and you and your friends can actually get in there much cheaper price. I'm talking about maybe $150 at most. And that will get you into 3 other clubs in Vegas.
I appreciate that, but I just need to go see Pauly D. That's it. If you can get me into Pauly D for free, then maybe we'll talk. How about this? How about this, John? I will make you a deal.
Okay.
I'll make you a deal. If today, I know the ratings come out today. If we're number one, I will take the show. Whoever wants to go, we will go to either the Grand or Mystere, and we'll get a table there. And we will, as long as you got to go, would you go? Would you go if I got us a table there?
Yeah,
and you would go fist pumping with us.
Oh, yeah.
You would go?
I absolutely go.
Oh yeah, I'd go. John Walling, yeah. Give me a techno version of Louie Louie. That's what I need.
Now, okay. How many people? I mean, it's not going to be just you and me. It's got
to
be
no. I mean, whoever wants to go, Nick, would you go?
I'd go.
All right, would you, Mike? Would you go? Bird, would you go? Bird. Bird. Bird.
He's not Jesus. Paying attention.
Dude doesn't listen to the
He's
show.
He's not listening to the show.
Okay, Mike would go. Tracy, you want to go? Why the hell not?
All right,
okay.
We're all in.
As
I like
long
it.
As you're there, John.
I'm there.
All right. I need to see Techno Wallach.
Techno Wallach.
Crystal
is
Meth
much
Wallach.
The same as the Light of Day Wallach.
Glow Stick Wallach, a.k.a. Ecstasy
I
Eagle.
Just need,
someone just tweeted.
Give me a bedazzled hat. I'm good.
It's Ecstasy Eagle.
I'll wear it sideways for everybody.
Now, that has to happen.
What, a bedazzled hat?
Yeah, bedazzled hat will get you some glow sticks.
Sure.
All right. If the rain,
no,
if we're
better.
Number one when the rain is coming out today, I will get us a table, which you got
to
go.
Not just glow sticks. I have to wear one of those necklaces that lights up. You know what I'm saying? Like a glow stick that runs around the whole thing. That's
See, you
what
know
I
more about this stuff than I do. Listen
I
to you
that.
Playing all coy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, John.
You want to go to the grand?
Out there.
Let's go to the grand.
Dated music from about 10 years ago. But why not?
More than 10.
All right. So it's going to happen.
It'll be a big party. We're going to have a whole TNR crew, like Invade.
If we're number one. All right. So all these people are like, can we go?
The best part is you already know the answer to that, which is why you promised this.
Oh, that we're number one. Just making you commit. Just making you commit.
As if you needed a push. Come on.
All right. We'll have to
anything, get me out of the house. Jesus.
All right. Here's Ecstasy Eagle with the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
There's a lot more to worry about than
Toucher and Rich. It's a real nightmare. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right. Can we just talk about this for a second?
Yeah, that was kind of funny.
Can we just talk about this for a second? In case you're tuning in late, Rich is kind of, we've kind of maneuvered me into going to a club. We'll do glow sticks. It'll be a lot of fun.
Ecstasy Eagle.
Right. And we were inviting everyone on the show to come with us. It'd be a nice show opportunity. Rich pointed to his right, said, Nick, you in. Nick gives a thumbs up. He points to Mike on his left. Mike, you in. Mike gives the thumbs up. Then he goes, Bird, you in? Nothing. Bird. Nothing. Then he picks his head up like, oh, you're talking to me.
It took
you two tries to get his attention. He had no idea. Once he picked his head up, he had no idea what you were talking about.
Hey, Bert, I don't mean to pick on you, but I mean, could you just hop on the mic real quick?
Oh, my God. I
genuinely want to know this. What are you listening to when you're not, on the phone?
I'm just reading articles.
But are we on in there?
Not really. A little bit. Tracy has it on low. When Dan's in, it's on high.
Okay, I understand because you don't want to feed back if somebody gets on the microphone, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But have you made an effort to get headphones?
Yes, I have headphones.
And you don't... do you wear them?
Yeah.
No, obviously not in that case.
Oh, no, yeah, I wasn't listening that instant.
Tracy, how often... does he have his headphones
on? I already know
on?
The answer to this.
How often does... Tracy... Okay, now she's got to put her headphones. How often does he use his headphones?
You know, he can't use his headphones to hear, and here he has to use mine.
Okay, so he does have headphones.
He has
over
the, headphones, yeah.
And how often does he use those to listen to the show?
I don't know if he's listening to the show, but he has them on a lot.
So he has them on, but he's had them on his head right now. They're not over his ears.
Twitch. Oh, so he's listening to Twitch.
But you're not. But your headphones aren't on. If you can't hear the show, once again, what are you saying? If you can, how are you listening to the show?
How do I listen to the show? On Twitch.
Okay, but you said that
if I'm not listening on Twitch, it's usually loud in here, and I'm listening.
Are we on delay on Twitch?
It's like background noise for me once in a while.
Okay. But you to listen to it on Twitch, don't you have to put the headphones on? Oh, God.
And all it's right. On delay. Nick just gave me a thumbs up. It's like, what, 10 seconds,
so
20
on.
Seconds?
So Twitch
in there?
Is on delay. Why are you listening to a delayed broadcast?
Well, we're sitting right in front of
just
you.
Just get headphones and listen to the show through the board.
I don't have a board for the show. For the show.
No,
on my
but.
Computer.
Oh, Jesus.
All right.
No, I'm listening through Dan's sound system. If it's loud enough, I'll listen.
Okay.
Once in a while, I'll have one earphone in and one earphone out.
Why would you have the earphones in if it's on in the room? So what you're telling what you're telling me is the live feed is in one ear,
yes,
and the 10-second delay one is in your left ear.
Yeah, but normally I have it on mute. So like if I can...
So why would you have the headphones on?
Because I'm listening to other stuff.
What?
What? I was listening to the short guy get mad.
What? But what?
I actually know what he's talking about.
I know what he's talking about, yeah. but you're supposed to so we can tell you. Oh boy. Okay. All right. Thank you. I think we've had enough of that. For one day, I think we've had enough, Bird. But thank you very much for answering that question. So, so last night was ESPYs was interesting, and we've talked about the Rob Gronkowski stuff. And there was a best, I think it was the best comeback award, came to the St. Louis Blues, which I'm sure, you know, kicks you right in the nuts if you're watching that. But I mean, they honestly deserved it. Their story was pretty unbelievable. Best comeback. So they were the worst team in the league in January, and they ended up going on to win it. And they brought up that girl who was sick and stuff like that. So it's like it's tough to hate that. However, they had the best record-breaking performance, and it was Drew Brees. And it was for when he broke the all-time record for passing yards. Do you remember when they stopped the game mid-game and came out and gave him that award and had like him speak, and they gave him like a certificate, and it took like 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Am I misremembering that? That was 10 minutes long, right?
It was a long time.
Have you ever seen that ever in a game for any record being broken?
No.
Where you stop the game mid-game and have a ceremony?
I've seen it a couple of times, like when Ricky Henderson broke the stolen base record.
But did he make that speech today, I'm the greatest of all time, in the middle of the game?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well,
yes.
Then there
he like lifted up the base.
I do remember
and
that.
Held it up, and but now the, nobody's greater than me. Whatever he said.
But was that like at the end of the inning, or was
no? I think that happened right at that moment.
Okay. Well, that's bat crap insane too. Then.
Yes.
I mean, think of all the records that Tom Brady has broken. I don't think
It's a little different. It's a little different. When Brady broke the record for most touchdown passes in a season during that 07 where he hit Randy Moss for the bomb and it was 51 or whatever it was.
And nothing was stopped.
And nothing was stopped. He just finished the game.
Best game was the Rams over the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday Night Football. Which was a great game.
What was that, 57-54, 54-51,
I mean,
it was
unbelievable for the offense, embarrassing for the defense, but I mean, I think we could all agree that the better game was probably the AFC Championship.
I agree.
Yeah.
Overtime.
I mean, yep. If you're gonna look at that. Giannis Antetokounmpo, best male athlete, best team ended up being the ladies from the U.S. national team. They're, of course, having one hell of a day because yesterday they were out in the streets of New York City doing their thing, and Rapinoe's getting a lot of crap for some of the stuff she said. I have no idea why, but here she is from yesterday.
Please take this as an example. This group is incredible. We took so much on our shoulders to be here today, to celebrate with you today, and we did it with a smile. So do the same for us. Please, I ask you. New York City, you're the motherfucking
All right,
I'm reaching my capacity.
Well, this is it.
Megan Rapinoe capacity. I'm just about finished.
I don't care what team you are. After like a week, you're like, enough. Unless your name is Alexander Ovechkin.
Oh, yeah, that's different.
Or
that's
different. You're this guy.
Gloria, I think I got your number.
And to be honest, as much as you could say whether you like or you don't like the women's national team, there wasn't enough of that. Like, I mean, they were way too polite and nice as they were partying. It was just, hey, we're doing a funny dance, something like that. Like, I wanted somebody vomiting off the side of a float.
We win blues! We
like that would have been like the hammer.
Who is that on the U.S. national team? Just a fall down drunk.
It would have been. You had to get somebody who wasn't actually on the team, like Brett, like Hull wasn't. You would have to have like Mia Hamm do it, like somebody in the past who would won a cup. How great would that be?
Better yet, who's the woman who does all the commentary on ESPN? Fowdy. That's her name. Julie Fowdy.
Julie Fowdy.
Just
like,
totally wasted,
blowing chunks on the front. Just
that's
like,
what you need.
All over Park Avenue. You see that would make
that would be the Brett Hull comparison. Yes,
it was way too polite. And you know what? I'm sure that's their thing, and they obviously want to do that. But I mean, there was just there. You needed a little more.
Gloria, Gloria, I think I got your number.
Mm-hmm. Somebody said when Peyton Manning broke all time touchdown record, they just put the number on the Jumbotron after the offensive left the field. He waved to the crowd, and that was it. Yeah, That's what you should do. And when it happens, the crowd probably all knows everyone should stand up and go nuts. I totally understand that. Dude, they stopped the game for 10 minutes and gave him a certificate and he spoke. Like, that's insanity in the NFL. And no one even seemed to have a problem with it. If I'm sitting down on the other team, I'm pissed. I'm absolutely BS about all of that. But, you know, then again, it's Drew Brees who can do no wrong. So, all right, 617-779-0985. Fred will be here eventually.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's Dutcher and Rich. Very strange. The ratings for the Major League Baseball All-Star Game came out. It was the worst ever. And we were talking about how faceless baseball is right now. And you would think of all the people, Aaron Judge is the person that they would try to invest all their money in, because for people who aren't, you know, diehard fans of the game, you know, what do newbies like? What do people who are casual fans like more than anything? They like guys who obviously score. They hit home runs. They hit diggers. And that's what they love. And why would you not take a guy in the number one media market and try to make him the face of baseball? Because the true, like, heir to the throne that should have been left after Derek Jeter left should have been Mike Trout. Mike Trout was the, you know, he's the heir apparent, but he does not want that gig. And I listen, if he doesn't want it, he doesn't want it. You can't hate the guy on that. At least he's honest about it. He goes, I don't want to be this guy who does a ton of different ads, and he just enjoys playing where he plays and kind of disappearing and not really having to talk to the, you know, and being anyone who's a like overly public. And I've said it before. I believe that in most places in America, if Sidney Crosby and Mike Trout walked in, Sidney Crosby would be more recognizable than Mike Trout. I just think that the biggest name in hockey right now is more recognizable than the best player, you could say, in baseball. The most recognizable name in baseball right now is probably Aaron Judge, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
So he's probably the most recognizable.
He's the most recognizable athlete. I mean, his size, his ability to hit homers. I mean, it's just any fact that he plays in New York, that's it.
So things are pretty screwy right now for baseball. And the ratings for the All-Star game, it's a steady decline. Over the past 20 years. 20 years, it's really a steady decline, because I think they were saying 20 years ago, and that's probably the Fenway game, is the highest rated one in forever, and then it kept going down. I think it had like an 11 share, and since then, like 10 years ago, it was a 9.5, and now it's down to a 6.2, which is the lowest of all time. So how do you fix it? How do you fix baseball? How do you get people excited about it? A guy called in yesterday and said, you know, there needs to be more video games by it. Maybe.
Why?
Is it a chicken and egg type situation though? Like, would any kid go buy a baseball video game if they don't like baseball in the first place, when they've got a million other games to choose from? And what is it about baseball that translates into a fun video game? You know what I mean? It's like at least, you know, the game of football, there's violence. There's a little bit of action. I understand that. However, I think Madden's got out of control and it's become way too complex. I think it, maybe like 10 years ago they lost it. But then again, I haven't played Madden over the last like five ones, but I know for a while it just got too technical. I guess they kind of went back because they realized they were losing a lot of people. Hockey's a fun video game.
Yep.
Basketball is fun as hell because it's fast.
My kids play 2K like everybody else.
But like, who's like clamoring to play a baseball video game? And if you want to get, like, you know, young people involved, because right now the average age is, I think, like about 60 years old of the people who watch baseball. So how do you get it back? What do you do? How do you market it? They've apparently tried juicing the balls. That's not working. It's backfiring, as a matter of fact. It's going the other way. And it's for the reasons you said.
You need personalities. That's the only way you get it back. You need personalities in the game. And you need the best baseball player in the history of the game to be your most marketable player. That's it. I mean, the way you get it back is for Mike Trout to go rogue. Seriously.
He's not going to.
I know that.
So just write that
Trout's
off.
A good guy. That's the problem.
He's not going to do it. Mookie Betts, if you believe he is like on the upper echelon of the top five players in the league, maybe not this season, but I mean, if you think that he is a guy that over the next 10 years is going to be in the conversation
you
as
need
one of the five
guy,
best. Mookie Betts isn't a personality.
You need a guy like, you need seasons like what Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa did. You need a guy to hit 400. You need a guy to have a hit in like 59 or 60 straight game. You need that kind of record-setting performance to put eyeballs on your sport, if not only temporarily, and then hopefully you can hook people in. And not only do you need a guy to do that, you need the guy that does that to be outspoken and wild.
You don't think
like
that
a Charles Barkley-like character. That's what you need
you
to have this happen.
But you honestly don't believe that baseball and Bud Selig and all of these people have thought about that, and that's why, according to many players, the balls have been juiced.
I understand. I guess what I'm saying is,
do you believe that they're juicing the balls on purpose?
Yes.
Okay.
The changes that they're making, in the grand scheme of things is kind of like rearranging deck chairs.
All right, Andrew, what's up, man?
You got to have steroids. You got to have collisions. Like that Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa era, that was awesome. That home run derby was amazing. And now it's just, you don't have guys like that anymore.
The steroids era was my favorite era of baseball. And I'm not lying. I mean, it was my favorite era of baseball. Awful to say that.
Here's the thing. If it was just McGwire, would baseball have gotten more popular? Would more people have watched it? Sosa was a character that year.
But think of all the bangers you had back then. I mean, you had like Jose Canseco.
Right.
I mean, these guys.
I guess
all
what I'm saying,
the
if
league.
It was just McGwire to go and break that record, I think it wouldn't quite have been as popular.
Of course not, but it still would have been the most popular. I mean, honestly, it's like since the steroid era was done.
And it's different now in the day and age of Twitter, and you need to get people's attention in 7 seconds. You need an outspoken individual, a trash-talking individual, a guy who will draw attention for the right and wrong reasons. You need that guy to be the guy to set the record. That's what you need.
And there seems to be a major lack of that. Bring back Johnny Gomes. Someone said when I was growing up, the big thing was violent sports games, NFL Blitz, MLB Slugfest. Do you remember Arch Rivals?
Yes.
That was the 2-on-2 basketball game. Yeah. Was it 2-on-2? I don't think it was like NBA Jam. It might have been more than 2-on-2. But the whole thing of the game was, you know, it was two basketball teams going against each other, but you could punch each other in the face.
Yeah.
I mean, it was basically like watching a Pistons-Celtics game back in the day. But people love that. Like, that was fun. So maybe you can develop a video game that's baseball. It's like your way to get into baseball would be, all right, it's baseball, but the batters are allowed to keep the bat in their hands as they run the bases. And anyone tries to tag them out, you slug them in the head.
Billed by Midway as a basket brawl, the game features 2-on-2 full-court basketball in which players are encouraged to punch opposing players and steal the ball.
Yeah, Arch Rivals is all right.
Yep.
Arch Rivals is all right. Like, that's one of those games that, like, if you saw it at a garage sale or something, or one of those, like, and it was on sale for, like,
I used to play
a couple hundred bucks.
I was the guy who didn't have Nintendo NES. I had Sega, and Arch Rivals was a Sega game, if I remember right.
Was it Sega?
I believe so.
Yeah, Arch Rivals was okay.
I had the Genesis.
That was all right. I had the code for NBA Jam that you could turn the guys into Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yep.
That was one of those great stories that no one quite had the code. And you had it. I would have loved that code.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had all the codes. You could turn them into Barney. Oh, what were the other ones you could turn them into? Oh, NBA Jam was... That game's still great. As a matter of fact, if there's one dumb thing I could spend my money on that I don't necessarily need, just one stupid thing, I would buy a stand-up NBA Jam machine. Like, that's the one dumb thing. But they're so ridiculously expensive that I'm not ever going to do it.
Real quick before, do you still have the Tron machine? Yes,
yeah,
or no?
You still have it?
It's in storage.
Okay.
But I do have it. You know what I just bought? They make these arcade games that are like 3/4 scale. So they're like maybe a foot
shorter.
I know.
We rented one for last Christmas. We rented one for all the kids.
Yeah.
And they're only like $250.
Yes.
I just bought the Street Fighter 2 one. It's being delivered today, as a matter of fact. And it's like Christmas.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Yeah, I got the Street Fighter 2 one coming. They have a Mortal Kombat one.
What do we have? We rented two of them. We had one Galaga machine and one Miss Pac-Man.
And now I'm geeking out. All right, so we've got your phone lines are filling up. So 617-779-0985. We'll get to that right after John Wallach's headlines. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.